And we're in the Song of Solomon this morning, church. Amen. Solomon's song to his bride. Amen. Holy Ghost spoke to my heart out of this scripture, about this scripture. And we'll get lined out. I'm going to tell you folks that's visiting, we're not always this mixed up. Sometimes it's worse. Sometimes it gets even worse. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5 this morning. For the reading of the Word of God, let's remain standing and begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O my beloved. Listen what the bride says. I sleep, but my heart waketh. What a statement. I wish the Lord had let me preach on that sometime. I'm asleep, but my heart's awake. My mind is went into the rest mode, but my heart is fully aware of everything that's going on. Now, I'll tell you, that's a tremendous statement. It said, it is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that were about the city found me, that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. Let's bow to pray. I trust you'll pray for Brother Hall this morning. I don't want to get in any hurry. And I want to just say what God's given me to say on my heart. Hope to be a blessing to the church. Okay, let's look to Him in prayer. Our Father, we're so thankful this morning, Lord, for the good Sunday school hour you provided. The joy the ladies had when they came out of their class. And Lord, for the help here with the men. I appreciate the good singing this morning, the choir singing, good congregational singing. I pray that you'll help in the preaching of the Word of God. And Father, that you'll still our hearts this morning and speak to us as your dear children. I do pray that you'll provide the liberty that we find in the Holy Spirit of God today to say what has been placed upon our heart. And God, may hearts today be opened, receptive to Thy will, Thy Word, and the work of the Spirit. I pray that we'll be able in some small way with these stammering lips of clay to glorify our Lord Jesus, to magnify His wonderful name, and, Lord, to convey His wonderful love to God's people. Have your divine will and way in every heart. I pray that sinners, through it all, will be saved and brought to Christ. And your people will leave this place today saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. Now you may be seated. I want to call our attention this morning as our text verse to verse number 6. Where the Scripture says, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul fainted when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. I want to try to preach this morning, if God will help me, on the withdrawal of the groom. When our Lord, as our bridegroom, withdraws himself for just a little space. You know, the Song of Solomon, church, is a story of romance and love. There's not a greater book in the Bible that deals with the subject of love. I think that's evident from verse number 8, where the bride spoke and left instruction with the daughters of Jerusalem, the daughters of Zion, to tell her beloved that she was sick of love. And there's no doubt from the earlier verses that he loved her. And this is a book of love that reveals our Lord as the lily of the valley and as the bride and the morning star. It portrays an intimate relationship of the bride and the bridegroom. And I want to say before I go any further that there is not a greater love in all this world than the love that our Lord has for those whom He died to save. The Bible said that in while we were yet even sinners, that Christ died for the ungodly. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Paul said in the book of Romans, "If God loved us so much that He delivered up His only Son for us, how shall He not by Him freely give us all things?" Paul goes on to say in the book of Romans, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And he lists 17 different things there in the Word of God. There's no perils. There's nothing in heaven, nothing in the earth, nothing under the earth. There's no principality, there's no power that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I really believe one of the greatest ills of our Baptist people today is our failure to get a hold of the fact of the great love of God that He has for us. I'm going to tell you, church, if God loved us while we were yet sinners, and He did, then can you imagine how His love is set upon us today as God's children? I'll tell you, that love surpasses the love of women. I know that from the life of David and Jonathan. Their love surpassed the love of women. And the love that God has for you and I today surpasses the love of women. The love that is magnified here is glorious, it's holy, and it is pure. And it cannot be broken. Have you ever considered that love? I'll tell you, we live in a society that is hell-bent and set on divorce. But I'm telling you, the kind of love that is pictured in the Song of Solomon is so holy, it is so glorious, it is so pure that it cannot be broken. Somebody said, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying that once we have managed to experience the love of God and that He has set His love upon you and I as His children, that love can never be broken. God loved the world, church, as His creatures and gave His only Son to die upon Calvary that His creatures might be redeemed. But I'm here to tell you that God loves us now as His children. And I'll tell you, that is a special kind of love. I love your children. But I'll tell you, there is a special affection in the heart and the life of Brother Hall for them three that God has granted him to be a father to. And that love is so rich and pure and so holy that there is no way that it can possibly be broken. That love is so intense that it will never, never, never fade away. Somebody said, "Well, I used to love her." I'm glad God has never said that. In fact, the Bible said, "Having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end." That's a very, very intense love that God has for you and I. His love is so intense that it will never fade. It is like, my friend, like a burning ember that will burn forever. Aren't you glad of that, that there is a God in heaven that set His love upon you in such a way that it cannot be separate you even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of trial, even during the time of tribulation or persecution or famine or in sickness or in health or any other thing? God loves you. His love for you continues to burn. Just like the songwriter said, "When I'm sad, God loves me. Even when I'm bad, God loves me." His love is like a burning ember. It continues to glow and burn brightly. We can never be separated from that love. I want to say to you this morning, if there was such a Bible doctrine as losing your salvation, God would have to terminate His love for us, cut off that love, sever us entirely from His relationship, and let us die and go to a devil's hell. Somebody said, are you preaching once saved, always saved? I'm preaching eternal life. God sent His Son into the world, my friend, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And that's not a temporary life. That is eternal life. I'm glad, thank God, that when I got saved, I'm saved for time and eternity. God set His love and affections upon me and drew me with cords of kindness to Calvary and there pointed me to the redeeming Son of God. And when I gazed upon the Son of God, my friend, in all of His agony of soul and the travail of His spirit, and recognize and realize the love that Jesus had for me, that He'd go to the cross and lay down His life that a wretch like me might be saved. I'm telling you, my heart was overwhelmed within me. And then He gave the invitation to come and drink of the water of the life freely. And I'm thankful in my soul this morning that God loved me before I loved Him and drew me by that wonderful love to Calvary and saved me by His wonderful grace. Somebody said, are you saved eternally? Oh yes, my friend, I'm saved by the grace of God, sealed by the Holy Ghost under the day of redemption, and I'm going to glory because God loves me. Hallelujah. I know that's right. His love's not going to, they ain't going to throw, the devil ain't going to throw enough cold water on His love to simmer it down. Doesn't He keep right on loving? Somebody said, well, but Brother Hall, you don't know me. No, but God does. Yes. And so if He loved you when you were polluted in your own blood, and when found you when you were in a dunghill, and loved you then, God shall forever love you. Yes. What love. What love. It's like a burning ember that glows and glows and glows. Yes. Amen. There's no power in heaven nor on earth that can sever the love of the groom and his lovely bride. They are prepared to live together and they are prepared to die together. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I am prepared in my heart this morning to live with Sister Hall to the end of our dying day. Oh, yes, sir. I want to live with her. And I'm prepared to die with her. Now I'm going to tell you, my friend, the kind of love that God has for you and I. He's prepared to live for us. But I'm glad, thank God, that it's a kind of love that's prepared to die for us. He gave Himself for us. While we were yet sinners, He walked that lonely trail of Calvary's mountain, that dreadful Lord, my friend, bearing the sins of the world, carrying your reproach and your shame up Calvary's mountain. Oh yes, I'm glad, thank God, that He loved us enough to go to the cross and to die a sinner's death. But I'm also glad that He had enough power after He died to go into the realm of the dead. And on that third and glorious day, He came out of the grave. He loves you. When will Baptists wake up and realize that God loves you this morning? And there's not a power in heaven, nor in earth, nor in hell that can separate us. I'm going to tell you, if we realize it, hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. He's prepared to live for us, and He's prepared to die for us. Amen. Now, some of you yay hoppers in here this morning, you got that kind of love for your wife? Amen. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave Himself for it. Are you prepared to roll up your spiritual sleeves and enter into the boxing arena with the devil and fight for your bride, my friend, unto death? Some men today so stinking sorry. They carry their wife to work. They ain't got enough grace about to go get a job. Oh, they talk about how much I love my wife. Well, they love her enough to traipse off down to the welfare department and get the food stamps. That's right, son. Now in our text, our Lord has come as the bridegroom to the door of the bride chamber. She has done washed her feet. She's changed her clothes and put on her bed garments and gotten herself in the bed. And the bridegroom comes, and the Bible says, my friend, and by the way, and I'm not trying to be vulgar when I say what I'm getting ready to say, but he come to her, and his hands dripped with myrrh, his fingers dripped with myrrh and with sweet-smelling incense, and he came to her in love. I want to say that he came, my friend, to do intimate love with the bride. I'm here to tell you, my friend, there is nothing like those intimate moments of when we as God's children, as the bride of Christ, my friend, are able to separate ourselves into that holy place, get into that inner chamber, and make love with our Lord that loved us and died for us. This is an intimate relationship. Intimate love. Son, he didn't come at her with a ball bat.
That's right.
He came, my friend, in love. Called her his love and his dove, his sister and his spouse. And he came, my friend, with the myrrh and fragrant incense and the odor of love upon him. He came to the very bed chamber where she was, that the bride and the bridegroom, my friend, had an intimate relationship with him. Wonder of wonders that he had loved me.
Yes.
Now I'm going to tell you what happened to the bride. She's like most of us. She's a little complacent. Now I'm getting to the message now. You don't need to get in a hurry. She's a little complacent and she didn't want to rise. She said, I have already washed my feet. You expect me to get out of bed and defile them again? Now I've already put on my night clothes. You expect me to get up? But I see something here, and I've never heard a man. I have never heard a man preach on it. In verse 5, the Bible said she opened and rose to her beloved. Somebody said, well, I'm going to tell you what it was. She realized, son, there was a love there that overwhelmed her. She said, I am complacent. I'm in the bed, and I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? How shall I get up? I'm already in the bed chamber. But I'm telling you, when she saw that hand penetrating that hole in that door and realized the love that was poured out of the heart on the outside to her, she could not contain herself. She had to arise and get out of the bed to meet the bridegroom. But when she got up, she realized it was too late. He had already withdrawn himself. It was gone. Somebody said, oh, you just said that nothing could separate us. I'm telling you, my friend, he withdrew himself. That he might, my friend, create and produce in the heart of the bride certain virtues that would make her worthy of the love that he had for her. Now I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you're really in love with Jesus, when he withdraws himself, you won't depart from him.
Amen.
Absence will make the heart grow just a little bit fonder. I'm going to tell you what she done. When she arose and realized he was gone, she wasn't a Baptist. I know she couldn't have been a Baptist. Because most Baptists, when they come to church on Sunday morning, and God don't show up, we don't run the aisles and shout, and it don't get long. Or nobody gets saved. We go back home and say, well, God didn't show up today, I guess. Ain't nothing we can do. I'm going to tell you what she done, friend. Immediately, when she opened the door and realized the bridegroom was gone, she immediately set her heart to seek after him.
Yes.
That's our problem. Lord.
Right.
When the love affair cools off and there's an absence of his presence, rather than to do what the bride did, we want to let our love cool and just go back to bed and let him come back to where we are again. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. If we really love him, like we say that we love him, and we've set our heart and our affections upon the Lord Jesus,
And he's the altogether lovely one, the lily of the valley and the bride and the morning star. I'm telling you, in his absence, my friend, we ought not to sit back on our stool or do nothing. But we ought to make a diligent search of where our Lord's at. Search the hills and the mountains and find the Lord. And I'll tell you, if you'll seek after him, let haply somewhere down the line, you'll find him all over again. He withdraws himself for our good and his glory. That virtues. And I found the three greatest virtues in all the Bible in this text. Faith, hope, and charity.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you on those three, my friend, hinge all Christian virtues.
Amen.
Now abideth these three. Faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of the three is charity.
Amen.
No wonder when it closed out on that sea well that the bride told the daughters of Jerusalem, if you find him in whom my heart loveth, then tell him I'm sick of love. He is gone. He is absent from me. But tell him if you find him that my love, my friend, may have cooled, but it's warmed up all over again. And I'm a burning in my soul for the presence of the bridegroom one more time. Huh?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, some of you men know exactly what I'm talking about. Huh? That little lady of yours, if you're like Brother Hoffman, if you ain't, you got a problem. I'm going to tell you something. I can't stay away from my wife a month at a time. That's right. About 3 seconds out of her sight, my heart gets a pumping. I wonder where in the world my sweetheart's at. I'm going to see her again. I'm not telling you, she can walk off back into the bedroom. And I looked around, she's out of the living room. I traipsed off back in the bedroom where she's at. If you goes upstairs, I live on my house, you can walk upstairs. Somebody said, well, I want to be around her. Praise God, we in love. I want to be around her and be in her presence. And I'm telling you, when she's out of my presence, I'll suddenly have something in my heart that says, seek after her until you find her, because ain't the love there that will not allow you to be separated for a time. Hallelujah to God. Now, I'm going to say, son, I said this the other night, I'm going to say it again. I believe God's back on track at Island Ford Baptist Church. Huh? God's a given light. God is a loosening it up, and God is a given light. Amen, and God's given me some light. I'm going to say something, church. I believe after the camp meeting 3 years ago, the Jubilee, that the Holy Ghost of God said, I'm going to find out. I've set this crowd on the mountain. Now I'm going to find out if they really love me. I'm going to find out if they really pray. I'm going to find out if they really believe in me. I'll just depart from them a little while and see if they've got enough heart and enough love in their heart that they'll seek after me.
Yes.
Let me ask you, what have you been doing?
Yes.
Have you been seeking him? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me say to you this morning that the first reason the groom will withdraw himself is to increase our faith.
Amen.
Somebody said, how can him withdrawing increase our faith? Well, I'm going to tell you what, friend. It didn't stifle hers, because there in verse number 5, when he withdrew himself and said her soul fainted when he spake, she said, I sought him, but I could not find him. Amen. Just for heaven. Just like Job. Job said, I looked on the right hand and the left, ahead of him, behind me. But he wasn't there. I'm going to tell you, that did not stop Job from seeking after God. And just because the bride in this particular passage couldn't find it, did not stop her from seeking after him again. Now he did that he might increase her faith. You see, if he'll just withdraw himself a little way, my friend, if we've got any faith at all, we'll start feeling after him with the fingers of faith until we might find him.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, I don't believe God does that. Then you're a Bible denier and on your way to hell.
Amen.
You don't believe that. I'm telling you, I just read to you what the Bible says.
Right.
Somebody said, well, you said he'd never leave us or forsake us. Standing somewhere in the shadow, you'll find Jesus. He's a friend who always cares and understands. He might withdraw himself from your sight, but I'll guarantee you, he'll not withdraw himself so far that his eyes are not upon you. You may not be able to see him, but I believe that God, he's always there.
He knows where you are.
Yes,
yes sirree. He does that to increase our faith. She did not tarry long, my friend, in his absence, but immediately set forth to seek after the Lord.
Amen.
He just pulled back to say, I want to increase your faith a little bit. To just you live by faith.
Amen.
He wants you to learn to live by faith. Somebody said, well, preacher, I haven't found him in prayer. Yes. A preacher, I haven't found him lately. Yes. Heaven has been like brass. Yes, I understand. My heart has been cold. Yes, I understand. You see, when he withdraws himself, that old heart has a tendency to dry and get a little cold. But I'm going to tell you, if you've really been to town.
Yes.
If you've really been to town.
Yes.
And grace has been magnified to you. And God's love has been bestowed upon you. And you see yourself a healthy servant.
Yes. Amen. Now stay with me. She sought him. Somebody said, Brother Hall, my God, we've been invaded with a cockroach. Flying one at that. That's one of them fiery darts of the devil. Glad I've got on the whole armor of God this morning. And to God. I'm glad I have got on the armor of God. Don't you think the devil won't go in there? Thinking, lying devil. Yes.
What he is, he lying devil.
Yes.
Two-faced, double-minded deceiver.
Yes.
That knows he's a going to the lake of fire.
Yes.
And he wants to do his best to bring your spirit down. He wants to destroy you, cause you to help. But I'm glad, thank God, he's going to pay my God in God. Amen. That's right, ain't it? Somebody said, how can we seek him? God gave me this, and I'll never get it out the way I want you to have it. But we ought to seek him first and foremost in the privacy of our own heart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives. Who is this? Yes. I'm going to tell you something. He will withdraw himself no further than the boundaries of your heart.
Yes.
He's still in there somewhere.
Yes.
If he withdraws himself to increase your faith, just seek him, my friend, in the privacy of your heart. He's never left your heart.
Yes.
He is the seal of the Nazarene.
Yes.
He's there. He's there. Yes. He's there. He's there! He's there!
Oh,
thank God.
Heaven.
In your heart.
Oh,
yes. Make diligent search of your heart. Find out what part of it the Holy Ghost is roaming around then. He's in there somewhere. Working on you, my friend.
Yes.
Hallelujah to God. I'm about ready to go crazy.
Yes.
Huh? Oh, we know it's a house of this earthly tabernacle where it is all. We have a house not made with hands.
Yeah. He'll never get outside the house that he lives in, friend.
Yeah.
And this old tabernacle of our body is the house, and he dwells in the main street.
Yeah.
He doesn't live off in some little crack.
No.
He doesn't live in a small town. He lives out in the great room. Hallelujah to God.
I said, "Preacher, can you prove that all that well?" I think I could have had a little time. Man to God. And I can tell you what the Bible says. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Deuteronomy 4:29. "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Not with a little bit of your heart and not with 90% of your heart.
Oh, your heart. What if he withdraws himself into that 1% of your heart and you make a diligent search and search out 99% of it and come back to the church house and say, "Well, I'm in this brother's in despair and the devil has told me I'm lost and going to hell. I must be because I searched 99% of my heart and couldn't find God." Honey, I'm going to tell you, you're standing in the shadow of that. Say, seek him in the privacy of your heart.
Amen.
I want to say, secondly, seek him on the pages of the Bible.
Yes.
Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me.
Amen.
Tomorrow you are reading your Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You will find him there. Genesis, he is a beginning of all things.
Yes.
In Exodus, he's a great sacrifice. In Leviticus, a great sacrifice. In Deuteronomy, he's the law of God.
Amen.
Amen. In Joshua, son, he's the Jordan.
Woo!
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Matthew, he's the king. In Mark, he's the ox. In Luke, my friend, he's the Son of Man.
Yeah.
And God is the Son of God.
Yeah.
In Acts, he's the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
I tell you, find him, look for him on the pages of the Bible, and you'll find him.
Yeah.
Y'all get in a slump. Y'all get in a slump and throw your Bible down on the shelf and say, "What's the use?"
All right.
And then come to church and say, "Boy, we sure didn't have no God today." Maybe you ought to find him before you left the house.
Hey,
y'all found him before he left the house.
Yeah.
You been reading your Bible, Jerry?
Right.
Maybe something else doesn't mean. Some of y'all sit like a bunch of zombies.
Yeah.
You can't even smile. You ain't got no God around you.
Hey.
I need to tell you now, friend, if you got God around you, and a man of God's ever preaching the cross and the blood, look like a calf in a new gate.
Yes.
Act like you don't even know what's going on. I'm going to tell you why you don't, because you don't.
Yes.
That's right. Yes. Seek him on the pages of the Bible.
I want to say number three, seek Him in the preaching of the Word of God. Huh? Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, God, we don't find Jesus in preaching. What's the matter with you? What you go to Bible college? Can't you preach? You go down to that Southern Baptist school down there?
I'm not talking about your church.
You go to that Southern Baptist mess down there? What Bible you been reading, NIV? What preaching you been sitting under? Let me give you a couple of words here. Amen. Seek Him in the preaching of the Word of God. Titus 1:1-3. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. But hath in due times manifested His word through preaching. I'm going to tell you something, friend. God will open up that word through preaching.
Yeah.
God will magnify His Son through preaching. I've tried my best to magnify Him in Sunday school. I'm trying to magnify Him in Sunday school.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what preaching will magnify the pardon of sin. Yeah. Look for Him in preaching, friend. You'll find Him in the pardon.
You'll find Him in the peace. For other people, God has to follow understanding. You'll find Him in the power.
There's power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. God, I'm about to get. Was the sound? No, my friend. That the Holy Ghost and will bear witness with the trumpet, and your body, spirit, and soul will get up out of the grave victorious.
Send
into the clouds to meet Jesus in the air. Hallelujah to God. Seek Him in the preaching because He manifests His word through the preaching. Now I want to say now to increase our faith. Not only did she seek Him, but she summons Him. You know what a summons is, don't you? Somebody told me the other day, said,
I got to go to court, said, I've been subpoenaed. In the older days, they used to call that a summons. You've been summoned to court.
Amen.
And you got to be there.
Well, the bride here put out a summons. Somebody said, where's the summons? She said, I sought Him, but I could not find Him. But look here.
When she looked as far as the eye could see, but I learned a long time ago that in most cases, my voice can be heard a lot further than my eyes can see. And the next statement, he said, I called Him.
She called Him. I'm glad, she called Him in prayer. Amen to God. Seek ye the Lord.
while he may be found, Isaiah said in Isaiah 55:6, call unto him while he is near. If you can't see him, do the second best and call for him. I'm going to tell you what, my friend.
He is like a sucking mother that cares for children. You don't mind if I use a little expression here, do you? I hope not. I sit back in there in the studio. I see what the side is about. And this other entity is back there. There's another people back there. And this other back there. From the kids out here. And I heard one of them boys. I didn't know this one of them. One of them boys said,
going to attend to us when he hears one of his youngins crying to him, Abba, Father. That's what Paul said.
Abba, Father!
Hallelujah to my God.
Woo!
Me and another one, Robert. Hallelujah. Summons him. Listen what David said in Psalm 32. For they shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto thee. Pray unto him in a time when thou mayest be found. Call him. Call him. Summons him. Summons him in prayer. I'm going to show you something else, and I'm going to tell you what. If you can get a hold of this, and I'm trying to hurry through this, but God, and I, the Holy Ghost ain't a hurry. That's the lesson that we want to bring up. Some of you all thought I forgot how to do that. I wouldn't throw it on you, not unless the Holy Ghost told me to. Then I'd drown you good. Look here. Not only did she summons him in prayer, but I want you to look at verse number 7. The watchman that went about the city found me. Look what they done to her. She went out looking for him. And look what they done to her. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. They mistreated her. They persecuted her. This crowd was not friendly to her. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that she summons him in prayer, but she also summons him in peril. You see, the point I'm trying to make is this. My friend, is he not worth hesitating out of my car?
Amen.
She felt like his love was worth dying for, if necessary, to find him. I'm telling you, oh, would to God, that every sinner under the sound of my voice could say like her, that I would gladly hazard my life unto death if I may only find him that loves my soul. My God, my God, my God. And us as God's people, will we not gladly lay down our life for such love?
Amen.
She went out where it was dangerous to find his love. I'm going to tell you, if it's convenient, we'll find his love. If it's inconvenient, we'll fold our arms and sit on our tail ends. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just enjoying salvation. You ain't enjoying nothing.
God help us.
Friend, I'm going to tell you, you can't even squeeze a few dollars out of God's people to keep the gospel going out there. I've been sitting there for 2 days of begging money, and folks sitting out there, the majority of them wouldn't give a thin dime to keep it. And then want to call me a hyper-talent and tell me how much of a talent I'm made full of junk.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell the church this, if all the junk you are, hurt Williams is the one who got that bad started on me. They don't know what a talent is, friend. I'm going to tell you, what do you think? Do you think that I would sit in there and hazard my throat until my vocal cords feel like three rubber bands?
and come out here and preach to you and give my money to missions about a hypercalness and then we're going to get the gospel out the people. And that's where I put the rabble on their high end. No. And we'll do nothing to God. But criticize and complain. I'm going to tell you, my friends, don't call me a Calvinist. If that pat out there paid money to get that children to hell and get that gospel out around the world.
Amen.
So
I
really wish you got the privilege here of preaching the gospel around the world.
Beat around on every door. I can name you churches that does visitation every Thursday night, and every Saturday night. They ain't grown an ounce in 20 years.
Right. Amen.
That is not witnessing. Amen. And that is not soul winning.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what soul winning is.
Let God lay.
Tears you'll shed. Got enough power to break that old farm boy's heart. He's just dead in sin like you were before God found you, my friend. He's just lost and without Jesus, just like you and I were before God found us. And I tell you that, that's right. If we'll get a broken heart and get some tears in our eyes, we'll stay in the heart and find a way out the tears of about 10 years ago. So some sinners. Amen. Summons him in pearls. Old Brother Paul, when he was returning to Jerusalem, he made this statement to the book of Acts. He said, "Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, and neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course, my friend, with joy." Paul said, "Hey, just because they're telling me I'm going to prison and I'm going to be bound," he said, "that don't move me. That doesn't bother me a bit." He said, "I'm in love with Jesus. He loved me, and thank God I'm in love with Him. He loved me first." Paul said, "When I was full of religion, when I was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he said, when I had prestige and when I had power and when I I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? He's done His very best for me. How many are the souls? I don't wish I knew. Under God. Yes. Folks dying on going to hell all around. And we're playing little religious games. That's the first point of three. I'm going to try to get done. Second point won't be too long. I'm going to tell you, withdraws himself to increase our faith, but he also withdraws him. Now listen now. To bless us with hope. Now somebody said, "Brother Hall, where do you get this?" Turn back with me to chapter 3.
By night, on my bed, I sought him. There she is looking for him again. Whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will arise now and go about the city and the streets and in the broadways. Hey, huh? In the broadways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? I was but a little while that I passed from him, but I found him whom my soul loveth. Brother Billy, she found him in chapter number 3. Now, I'm going to tell you what hope is, friend. Hope deals with the Lord in His second advent. For we have a blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. Now, you hear me well. Do you know the thought is here? That if she found Him once in salvation, if you love Him enough, and we desire
Oh, we are going to heaven. He's healing them for a while. But we are going to heaven, thanks be unto God, the debt has been paid. And we are going to glory.
Brother Ricky. I wonder God the whole outfit was like him. I wish all of you is acting that way. Hallelujah to God. But if you can't act that way, act however way the Holy Ghost tells you to. The third point, why he withdraws himself, that he might prove our love. She said, I'm sick of love. She couldn't find him. Listen to this. How many of y'all in here have ever been in love with somebody and they've been away from you, like maybe go off to war? Have to stay away from you? Huh? Help yourself! Ladies and gentlemen, those of you listening, by the way, of radio or via internet, we're having an old shouting Baptist camp meeting in here today. We just in glory! In here, folks. Yes. Praise God, it's foggy. Yes. Listen to this. Lovers faint away if they have not the sight of the object of their love. Huh?
Yes.
No wonder she was sick of love. She couldn't find him. And she knew she couldn't find him. She just sat and hide away.
That's the way it is.
Yes.
How many of y'all remember when you were a teenager?
Yeah.
Somebody said, what is love? It's a holy fire kindled on the affections whereby a Christian is carried out strongly after God as a supreme good. He is your supreme good. Now get this now. It is the harlot's love to love the portion more than the person. A lot of people just love the portion more than they do the person. Huh? Hypocrites love God because He gives them corn and wine. But God's children love God for who God is. We might give our milk to the creature, but God wants the cream. Love is an industrious thing. It sets the head to studying for God, the hands to working, and feet to running in the ways of all His commandments.
Yes.
Now there's some signs of love, and I'll just... Signs of love, there's five of them, my God. We cannot be contented in anything without Him. She could not possibly be contented without His love. She had to find Him. We labor to render Him lovely to others. Does that sound like a Calvinist to you, my friend? We labor to render His love. In other words, tell other people how much He loves them. And He'll love them the same way. We are willing to do and to suffer for Him. He who loves God hates that which separates them, which is sin. And he who loves God weeps bitterly over His absence. I'm going to tell you in closing. Some of you in here get right with God. You enjoyed this morning. But you didn't enjoy it because you ain't right with God. If you'd got right, you could enjoy it this morning. God's moving. God's going to continue to move. I don't know about you, but I needed this. And I needed to see Brother Ricky again back there shouting and running and walking. what kind of email we'll have today. I'm going to tell you what I think about what time we'll have. Five times a week. I am not stopping them. He said, I feel as light as a feather. Isn't God good? We was talking to Brother Andy last night, and we said, now, Brother Andy, you ain't never really been there when it's really got out of the bank. I'll say one thing for that young man, he's in good shape. Help yourself, Brother Richard. Yes, sir. You help yourself. He said if they could just see what I used to be. What did I do with your all sin? I don't remember where I put it. All timers. Start them, I ain't stopping. I'd have done what God said. Now, you know, right here's where a lot of men, a lot of people would say, won't you just stop that? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not about to do something that may be contrary to the Holy Ghost of God. I'm not doing it. If you won't be that big of an idiot, you go ahead and do it, but I ain't doing it. Somebody said, what if it ain't? What if it is? And I'm going to tell you, I just believe that I was in a holy gear with God this morning, and I'd come a whole lot nearer to believing it is and it ain't. Therefore, I'm not going to put my hand on it. In fact, my only regret is that when they got started, I done preached down to the point where I couldn't get in it with them. Yes. the spirit truly was willing, but the flesh had gotten weak. When they come down, they'll be so weak they can't walk. Amen, Brother Reedy.
Yeah. Jesus is telling me to help myself.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's all helping me.
Yes, Lord. Thank God I'm under the blood today. Now, thank God. Hope you listen, Mother. You need to get saved.
I don't know what to do. I know it's past dinner time. The beans may be burning. Love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in Him a friend so kind and true, I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. Can you sing that last one with me? Every day He comes to me with new assurance. I don't remember it myself. Stand His words of love. But I'll never know just why He came to save me, till someday I see His blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. That's wonderful. I don't know what to do.
Hallelujah, amen.
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 Amen
I appreciate everybody being here today.